You're looking great today. You're singing like angels today, which is always fantastic when the All Blacks lose. Because every time we win, the mood of the nation goes up and down depending on the All Blacks. But it's great you can come and worship God with all the gusto you've got, whether they win or not. They're not Superman. They're not God. They're just the All Blacks. And they're getting very old black nowadays. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you all right? Yes. Give the Lord a hand. You guys come here. Hallelujah. Saku and Coralie, leaving us, they're going Northland. They just felt that God has called them back to Saku's Morai, around the area of Pai here, Kawakawa, around that area. And his ailing parents are there, and they felt to go and just spend some time with them before they leave. Not only that, to try and evangelize that area up there. And that's the part of the area where the gospel and the gospel came in, around that Bay of Islands area. And so Saku was leaving on Thursday. Saku has been a part of our eldership, him and his lovely wife, Coralie. Coralie will be here for a few more days, but Saku was leaving on Thursday. They were born again in this church, raised in this church, and God has used them greatly, not only to minister to us and to our community, but other communities in the nation. And thank you, guys. It was great. Don't forget where home is. Eh? If God changes his mind, come back home. Hallelujah. So your missions offering is just gone to them, all right? And if you didn't give, because you, then you can give again at the end of the service at the church office where there's FPOS there. We normally just bless people from other countries, and we want to bless the sons and the daughters of our own house when they go. All right? So we pray for them and trust that that's a good missions offering that they can take. What do you think? Make it a good one, right? I'm going to pray, because if I get everybody to pray, we'll be here till tomorrow. So I'll pray, and you can join your faith to mine. All right? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these two. We thank you for the path that they have walked. And we know it's not the end, Lord God. We know this is a phase, Lord God, in the next phase of their journey with you. Father, we thank you for what they've done. Their deposit into the lives of so many, not only in Whanganui, but outside of Whanganui. Father, as they go from us, Lord God, we pray that you will be their forerunner and rear guard. They will know the overshadowing grace and the power of the Lord. You will bless their lives. You will touch them. Use them greatly to touch the lives of others, Lord God. We pray that their families will come to know you. They will serve you, Lord God. We pray for their parents, Lord God. They will know great days of your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that their greater days, their best days are still ahead of them. And Lord, we bless them. And even as they go, we bless them as a church. Hallelujah. Lord, do them good. Do them good and bless them. We pray that every need will be met according to your riches in glory. Hallelujah. We bless you for them, and we bless them in your name. In Jesus' name we ask. And everyone say, amen. 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 Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you get up and say hello to somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. Did you enjoy Alex last week? Then you should enjoy me this week then. Hallelujah. Mr. C, are you going to sing? Last time we shared that Jesus declared that what is written is the Word of God. We share that, and many people say, I don't believe in the Bible, then you must be more cleverer than Jesus. Because Jesus said, what's written, the Scriptures shall not be broken. And He said, the Scripture that came to you is the Word of God. Talking about the Old Testament. Simon Peter, who is a disciple of Jesus, said, the prophets and the apostles, their writings become the Word of God. We shared on Jesus being the Word made flesh. We also shared on the Scriptures being the Word of God. Jesus said, I'll send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. The prophetic Word of God. He said, I'll send you the wise men. The written wisdom of God. And I'll send you scribes. What do scribes do? They write. Obviously, Jesus wanted His Word to be written down in written form. And John said, if everything that Jesus said or did was written in a book, there'll be nothing else on the planet but books. And even the planet will not be able to contain the books. There'll be nothing else but books. There'll be no potatoes or cars or roads or houses. There'll be just books. And it'll be so full of books that the world will sink. Are you okay? So let's have a look at what God said. He said, this, what's written in the Scriptures is God's Word. Christ is God's Word. Jesus is God's Word made flesh. Hallelujah. The Scriptures is God's Word, which is great, but it also means it's limited. Limited, not that God is limited, but limited in the fact that what's written cannot be added on to. This is the counsel of God from cover to cover. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it. Are you okay? Now, God can still speak outside the book. Because God is not limited to what is given to us, but this is for our benefit. God can still speak outside of His book. For example, if God tells me to go to Malaysia tomorrow, you can't find scripture and verse. Go to Malaysia. To Eliyahu Ezra. He can't find that. But he can speak that outside of what's already written. Because you can't contain God in the planet. God is God. Hallelujah. And God can do whatever He wants to do. Are you okay? The Bible says, my God is in heaven. Our God's in heaven. And He does whatever He wants to do. But when God does something on the earth. Now that's a different story. Whatever He does in heaven, He can do whatever He wants because He's God. The trouble with Jesus, I think, sometimes is Jesus thinks he's God. Which he is. He can do whatever he wants. But when he does something on the earth, the Bible says God will not do anything on the planet until he finds a... Hallelujah. Until he finds a man, until he finds a prophet. And God will speak to that person and God will fill that person with a vision of what he wants to do. Then God will send that person. And if you look at the scriptures, that's the way God worked. When God wanted to teach faith, God went over to the Ur of the Chaldees and found an old Maori guy. And God plucked faith out of his own eternity and put faith in a man until faith no longer is just a name. Faith has a body, faith has bones, faith now is made flesh. And then God sent us that man. His name is Abraham. If you want to know anything about faith, go talk to Abraham. Same thing with wisdom. He found Solomon. Same thing with suffering. He found Job. Same thing with worship. He found David. God does that, and God will not do anything on the planet until God finds a man, finds a woman, deposits into their lives, and sends them to Northwind. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And God still does that today. But when it comes to the things in heaven, it's none of our business. Those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. But the things that are hidden, don't try and try. God, what is it? Don't try that. The things that are secret and hidden belong to God. The things that are revealed in His Word and for us belong to us and our children forever. Hallelujah. Many years ago, a black man said to the Lord, God, how did you make the universe? And God said, that's too much for your brain to handle. He asked God another question. God said, that's too. Ask me something simple. He said, why did you make the peanut? And God gave him one revelation after another until the man understood why God made the peanut. And he lived in the southern states of the U.S. And God said, if the cotton is taken out after the cotton crop, the cotton will just eat everything in the soil. If you plant peanuts on the soil, the peanuts will replenish the nutrition of the soil and you can use the soil again. God gave him how to, showed him how to make oil out of peanut and make peanut butter out of peanut and everything. And he used great. His name is... His name's not peanut butter. His name is George Washington Carver. He was a black scientist. But he asked God a simple question. Why did you make the peanut? And God deposited something into his heart. And we are beneficiaries of that man's understanding because he connected with God. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, the scriptures, the Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your word gives light. You can't replace light with anything on the planet. You can't replace light with the old blacks. Light is light. And the Word of God is light. When the Word of God comes into our heart, the entrance of the Word of God gives light and gives wisdom and understanding to those that are simple. You can't replace the Word of God with anything else on the planet the same way you can't replace light with anything else. You can't replace light with corned beef. You can't replace light with music. You can't replace light with anything. You can't exchange the power of the Word of God in your life. Only the Word of God can do in your life what the Word of God will do in your life. You can't replace it with prayer. You can't replace it with worship. All those are part of God's instruction. But you can't replace the Word of God with anything else. You can't replace it with a gym or steak or entertainment. Nothing. And if you could get that into your heart, you will get into the Bible more than you get into your cell phone. You can't replace the Word of God with texts. Hello. Are you all right? Okay. Verse 19. We share that just to bring you up to date. Let's have a look at verse 19. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me." The world will not see me, but you'll see me. Give me a break. He says, the world will not see me, but you. You, my disciples, you, my family, you're still going to see me, even though nobody else can see me. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So, like any reasonable Kiwi, this Kiwi from Tokoroa asked this question, verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How come you're going to show yourself to us and not to everybody? How can we see you when nobody else can see you?" That's a good question. Aren't you glad Judas asked you a question for you? Then he said, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone..." Everyone say, "Hey, anyone." Anyone. Color, background, creed, academic ability, wealth, it does not matter. Anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. My word. If you love me, you will keep my word. And my Father will love you. I will love you. My dad and I will come to you. We will live together at 77 Surrey Road. And while the world may not see us, you can see us. But it has to do with the Word of God. The key is if you love God, you'll keep His Word. And God will love you. And God will come to you and make His abode with you. A lot of people say, "Where's God?" Well, get in the Word. You'll find God. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek for me with all your heart. Now, seeking and knocking and asking is not something the pastor does for you. It's something that you do for yourself. If you want to seek God, find him. He can be found. Call unto the Lord while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Where is that? Psalm Isaiah 55. All right? Okay. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So, the supreme test of you as a disciple is how much you love the Word of God. A lot of people will worship God and they'll say, "God, I love you." You've got a break. How do you know you love God? "Well, I just feel I love Him. If any man loves me, he will keep my word." If you don't do that, I don't care how much you say, "God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." You don't love God. The Bible says, he that says he loves God and does not do his word is a liar. And there's a lot of liars in the church. I'm not angry. Hallelujah. Have a look at 1 John chapter 2. First John is the little John, little guy. Same guy, but little this time. All right, First John chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." By this we know that we are in him. How do you love God? Let me ask you a question. How much of the word of God do you love? You can only love God to the extent that you love his word. That much and no more. You may feel you love God when you get into his presence and all your goosebumps stand on your other goosebumps. But if you don't obey his word, you're a liar. Are you okay? So the word of God is proof of our discipleship and the test of how we love God. One great man of God was reading the scriptures and somebody came into the door and knocked and came in and he asked him, "What are you doing?" And he was reading the Bible. He said, "I'm trying to find out if I love God or not." And he asked him, "You mean you don't know whether..." "Well, I can't trust my own heart because the heart is deceitful above all else. So I'm trying to find out if I truly love God or not. So I'm reading the Bible to find out if I love God." That's a pretty good test, isn't it? Are you all right? Hallelujah. So it's a proof of our discipleship, how much we love God. The Word of God is also the means of revelation. Hallelujah. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my maidservant and my manservant, I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. There's a tremendous manifestation of the Spirit of God these days. Hallelujah. And sometimes you wonder, because even as God is moving, as we shared about 12 years ago, you were not here 12 years ago, why is music so powerful? And why is music coming to the fore today? The reason music is coming to the fore is because God is building the house. God is building the tabernacle of David. It's a tabernacle of music and song and praise. As God is doing that, there is a parallel. The enemy knows what God's doing, so he's building another parallel house. And there's music everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You go to the gym, you go to the bath, you go. People are listening to music. We're listening to music like we've never done before. Why? Because God is doing something and the devil is doing something. And while there is a manifestation of the Spirit of God these days, there's also a manifestation and an increase in the demonic activity. How do you test the manifestation? The Bible says, don't despise prophecy, but test all things, hold fast to that which is good. You don't just take a manifestation. You judge a manifestation. How do you do that? By the word of God. Just because something is supernatural does not mean it's God. And if it's not supernatural, supernaturally, naturally, they will use camera tricks to make things like a breaking dawn. Breaking dawn is camera tricks. But they're trying to manufacture the supernatural. How many of you love that more than you come to church? I just thought I'd go there. Just talking. Hallelujah. We had a, some years ago, had a couple of ladies, very well-meaning, very genuine, very sincere, came to my office. You know what they said? God has told us to tell you that we are the two witnesses in Revelation. I mean, they were so sincere. I said, is that right? Yeah. We've been fasting, we've been praying, and God told us we are the two witnesses in Revelation. I was sitting in my desk. I said, breathe out some fire. He said, what? I said, breathe out fire. He said, nobody can do that. I said, the two witnesses can do that. They got up, they left, and I've never seen them again. Just because something is supernatural does not mean that you can just take it because it's supernatural. And sometimes our flesh longs for the supernatural. We want to see something miraculous, and we call it, if God's real, turn the stones to bread. We want something like that. Well, God is not your dog. God is your Lord. And God is not honor-bound to answer anybody's request. It doesn't matter how genuine it is. But when there are manifestation, you test the manifestation. How? By the Word of God. Some time ago in one of the Pacific Islands, I won't tell you where it is because it might embarrass some of you. But they had a thing, it was very, very common, very, very powerful, called automatic writing. And they'll have a meeting, and somebody will go to the blackboard with a chalk, and they just put their hand on the blackboard, and they will write automatically. And they say, well, the guy Nebuchadnezzar saw a hand on the wall. That's dumb. That's ignorance gone to seed. And they did this. And every meeting they were trying to find. And you know what? Every meeting the devil accommodated them by writing on the wall. And a lot of stuff that was written was not even biblical. Why? Just because something is supernatural. You have to test what you see, what you experience. And you test that with the Word of God. Don't forget, Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next moment, Jesus called Peter the devil. Why? Because it's possible that you can listen to God. It's possible you can be deceived. A friend of mine was doing a 40-day fast. And I rang his wife. I said, where is that boy? He said, he's somewhere in a retreat doing his, I said, how long has he been fasting now? And she told me. And I said to her, go to the shop. Buy some Ribena. Go to where he is and tell him to drink the Ribena. When he got there, he'd already written a letter saying goodbye to him. That God had told him he was going to die. So he told him he was going to die. So he's writing to her. And he's already composed the letter that he was dying and was going to die because that's what God said to him in his 40-day fast. And she turned up and she said to him, Master, he said, you have to drink this. She said, what? He said, you have to drink this. All right. So he drank it. That was fine. Got his strength back. Finished his 40-day fast. Came out. And he said, what did I hear? I said, you heard the devil. He said, how come I was fasting? I said, so was Jesus. Jesus fasted 40 days. What is the first voice he heard? The devil. Are you all right? I always tell young people, when you're on your own, if you're dating somebody, you're on your own, you and her, don't ever pray together. Sounds very spiritual. We pray together. Bless your darling heart. It's stupid. Don't pray together. Pray together in the meeting here, but don't pray together in the car. Go home. Why? Because when you pray together, both of your hearts are open now to God.
And while you started out being spiritual, it begins to open up to each other, and you'll do things you wish you'd never done. What is that? It's called anointed common sense, wisdom. You test everything with this. When you're alone with a boy, don't pray together. Just get out. Don't try and be spiritual with me. I'll bust your head. So test the manifestation. It doesn't mean that we neglect what's happening. The Bible says, don't despise prophecy. Don't ever despise that. But whatever happens, test all things, prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good. Are you okay? Now, why is it that some of you got prophecies last week, great time, and on Monday morning you woke up and you think a 50-ton truck just rolled over you? He said, what happened yesterday? And it seems so far away. What happened yesterday seems so far away. What happened? Well, this is what happened. We'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Are you all right? Are you okay with this? All right. It says, verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. According to the prophecy previously made. I see people get prophecy and they want to come and get another prophecy. If I get a prophecy, I give God the glory, but I'm not going to go and get another prophecy, get another prophecy, get another prophecy. One is enough. Why? Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. If you want to get another one, get another one, and get another one, and get another one. But this is what it says. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. By the prophecy, you wage a good warfare. Why? Because the devil wants to contend and contest it, take it out of your heart, so you will throw it away. Don't throw away your confidence. It has great reward, so you possess that. But you take the word of God, and by the word of God, wage a good warfare. The good warfare. It's not a bad one. It's a good one. Why is it good? Why is it good? You know why it's good? Because we win. Any fight that we win is a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Eh? Any fight we win is a good fight. Jesus had a prophetic word. And just after the prophetic word, he had an attack. God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Went out into the wilderness. What the thing that the devil said first? Are you the son of God? Are you the son of God? He challenged what God said to his... Are you the son? If you're the son of God, turn the stones to Qumran. If you're the son of God, jump off the ceiling or the roof of the new gym. Because I'm charged with angels to carry you and catch you that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Are you the son of God? Are you the son? You know what Jesus did? He said, turn the stone to bread. Man shall not live by but every word. Every word. You know that Star Wars? Obi-Wan Kenobi? Luke Skywalker? And the guy from Ireland. What's his name? Yeah. Is he from Ireland? Yeah. And you see them when they fight with their swords. What do you call it? Sabers. Lightsabers. And go, zing, zing. Have you ever seen the sword of the Spirit? Why don't you take it out? See, you get that saber thing that light goes, zing. And Jesus took out the sword of the Spirit. and he went from one end of the planet to the other. Oh, I like them. And the Word of God, the Word of God, not only is it bread, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of bone and marrow, lay bare the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And Star Wars is nothing on that. My daddy holds the stars in his hand. He said, let there be light, and light travel at 186,000 miles per second. And it's been traveling like that speed ever since. That's powerful. Have you ever seen that? The word came out of his mouth and it traveled so fast. It traveled from the sun to the earth in 8 minutes. 93 million miles. Word. Oh. That's pretty quick. What do you think? 186,000 miles per second. Where is he? Huh? Are you okay? Nothing takes the place of this. Now, I don't care how sharp your sword is. If you cut me up, you won't find my soul and you won't find my spirit. You will not. You will probably kill me, but you'll never find them. But when you use this sword, you'll connect it every time. What is that? Are you okay? I've got 6 minutes. Hey, that thing is wrong. That thing is slow. Huh? I have to change my watch. It's a test of discipleship, a test of your love, a means of revelation, a food for us, bread, milk, honey, and meat, the Word of God. Now, when you go to a restaurant, they'll give you the Word. They'll give you a thing called a menu. This book is a menu. This book is also the meal. Many people eat the menu and leave the meal alone. When you go to the restaurant, you don't eat the menu. They'll lock you up if you do that. But you order what's in the menu and you let the chef prepare what's in the menu. And when it comes out, it's no longer just a menu. It's a meal. And when you come to this word, to this menu, God, the Holy Ghost, will take the word and will prepare a meal. And when he comes out, he's sweeter than honey in the rock. It's bread of life. It's milk for our souls. And it's meat for us. Don't eat the menu. Eat the meal. Amen. Come on, you kids. Goodness me. Go home.